You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis in for Cynthia Canty. The Menominee River marks the dividing line between Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The river is prized for walleye, and it drains into Lake Michigan. A Canadian mining company is proposing a large open-pit sulfide mine just 150 feet from the Menominee. That plan has already been controversial with locals who worry about the impact to water quality and wetlands. But after several years, the company has secured the last of the major permits it needs to break ground, despite concerns from DEQ and EPA staff members. I talked to Detroit Free Press reporter Keith Matheny, who's been covering this story. So before we get into the many controversies surrounding this specific mine, tell us a little bit about what an open pit mine looks like and what it does to the land.
Well, what they're proposing is something like a 2,000-foot by 2,500-foot hole that would go about 700 feet down into the ground. So it is literally kind of what it sounds like, a big, gigantic hole. They would also have processing facilities right there on the same site where they would take what they're mining out of the pit and do various processes, including some that use cyanide to separate the ores that they're trying to get.
Hmm. So you write that the lifespan of this mine is projected to be about 7 years, and that the controversy surrounding what it could be doing to the environment is both while it's being mined and after it's filled in after that 7 years, right?
Correct. I mean, one of the county commissioners up there told me he's never seen or heard of a sulfide mine anywhere that didn't kind of leave scars upon the land after its closure. Just think about the concept of what you're doing at a mine like this, and then imagine trying to, quote unquote, fix it. It's hard to imagine exactly how you can do that without, you know, causing some disruption to the local ecology.
Part of the controversy that also has drummed up has been around Native American tradition. Talk a little bit about what this area represents for the communities up there.
So the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, this is a very culturally significant river to them. Their creation story stems from the river. The tribal chairman was telling me that one of the first stories of their creation is that the first being, the Great Bear, came out of Lake Michigan and set foot on the mouth of the Menominee River to kind of start their tribe's existence. And it's still an area where they hunt, where they gather, where people live, and significantly, burial mounds of their ancestors can be found all along this river, including some areas that could be impacted by the mine.
And do they have any legal recourse against this project?
Well, right now, the tribe is one of a couple of appellants trying to appeal this recent, I'm going to call it a wetlands and surface waters permit approval. The state of Michigan has approved the permits for how this project will impact wetlands and surface waters. The tribe is among those who are currently appealing that permit approval before an administrative law judge in Lansing. That's kind of their recourse now. One of the things that they're significantly concerned about is on the Wisconsin side of this river, the impacts from this mine are a stone's throw away. But because it's a Michigan process, they sort of feel like they've been left on the sidelines. The tribe says when they're dealing with a federal agency, you know, they're treated as a sovereign nation that's sort of at the table, whereas in this, it's sort of been the state of Michigan telling them, here's what we're doing, we're keeping you in the loop, but you don't really have a say in it other than, you know, your 2 minutes of public comment along with everybody else at some informational meeting.
Have tribes been successful in the past at stopping projects from moving forward because of the disruption to culture and tradition?
I can't speak specifically to mines. I just don't have that much knowledge base on that. But certainly tribal concerns have been given quite a bit of significance, particularly in federal courts. Whether that will happen before a state administrative law judge, I don't know. But one can imagine if they don't get satisfactory answers there, they might seek to appeal.
So let's talk about the concerns among DEQ and EPA staff. What were the main concerns they were raising?
So as part of this permit appeal before the administrative law judge, a number of internal documents from what was then known as the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, or DEQ. It now has a different name called Eagle these days. A number of their documents have been brought into evidence, and so it's made a number of things come to light about what DEQ staff who were actually on the ground evaluating this proposal thought of it. And consistently throughout those documents over, I'm going to say, the course of a couple of years, they regularly said, this isn't ready to go. There are problems here. And among the problems were that it was going to impact a significant amount of acreage, more of wetlands than the company was saying. They were saying that the method they were using to evaluate their impacts on wetlands and groundwater withdrawals was improper, that it was basically useless. And I saw multiple documents where staff members were saying the bad stuff out of the mine is going to make its way into the surface waters of the river, which of course means it's then going to, you know, flow on into northern Lake Michigan, as this is one of the major tributaries to the Great Lake.
Well, with all of these concerns raised, then why did those agencies then go ahead and approve the permits anyway?
That is a very good question. So all of this was kind of laid out in the record, and it gets a little bit complicated because Michigan is one of only two states in the country that administers federal Clean Water Act programs for the U.S. EPA. So in Michigan, the EPA says, DEQ, you handle this for us, but the EPA reserves the right to step in and weigh in and say what they think about something. On this project, in the spring of 2018, the EPA said, we don't want this permit approved because we don't think they've demonstrated that they're going to protect the water and the surrounding area. Within, you know, several weeks of that letter, Aquila Resources, the Canadian mining company behind the Back 40 Mine project, holds a meeting with EPA staff in Chicago. They provide them with quote-unquote supplemental information, and all of a sudden EPA's position turned on a dime. They said, we agree that this project should proceed and that our concerns have been satisfied, and that to the extent that there's still unresolved issues here, the Michigan DEQ can write a permit and deal with those as they go along before any work starts. Because they did it that way, it put the Michigan DEQ on a clock. They had less than a month, basically, to either approve or disapprove of this permit, or else their authority on it would revert back to the feds. So in that kind of quick time frame, the state agreed to approve the permits with a whole raft of conditions that Aquila Resources needed to meet before they could actually do the work there. And what critics like the tribe are saying is, since when do you take a permit and take all the conditions that are usually required to be in place to even get the permit, and instead you approve it and say, well, we'll work that stuff out later?
Okay, so you also ran into transparency issues, that the DEQ and the mining company did conspire to hide information from being FOIA'd, essentially, by the public.
There's a few documents in the DEQ's kind of appeals evidence here, and they show one DEQ staffer's sort of recaps of telephone conversations she'd had with Aquila Resources officials. And in those phone calls, she indicated that they were concerned about certain information, you know, going into the public record where the public could see it and react negatively to it. Now, in an earlier conversation where this was brought up by an Aquila executive, the DEQ sort of said, no, you know, if you send us a document, it becomes a public document and the public can see it. In a later phone call recap, the document shows that the staffer said an Aquila attorney had worked out a deal with Teresa Seidel, the chief of the DEQ Water Resources Division, that a document could be hosted on a GoToMeeting web meeting so that the DEQ could see it, but that it would, quote, not become an official part of the public record, end quote. So, you know, some folks who are advocates for First Amendment transparency believe that was sort of an effort to circumvent what's required under the Freedom of Information Act, that if you're a public agency and you're considering a permit and that applicant submits documents to you, that seems like something the public should be able to see. they held this meeting on the web so that they could look at it but not have it, so it wouldn't show up in a FOIA request.
Okay, so all of this happened before a new governor came in. This was in 2018 when these permits were approved, right?
That is correct.
So then does that change things with the new administration? Can this new department, Eagle, that has replaced DEQ, can they come in and change the permitting process, or is that already well underway and we can't back up?
It might be difficult for them to change the approved permits. Now again, they do have some recourse here in that, for example, they're requiring that Aquila Resources evaluate groundwater and evaluate wetlands the way that DEQ, now Eagle, wants to see it done. And that process involves like putting monitoring wells at the site, evaluating, you know, the different water fluctuations in different seasons, and doing it like over the course of a year to get sort of a full snapshot. It's my understanding that that process is ongoing right now. So they do have some recourse. They can kind of force the way things are going to go before any shovels hit the dirt there. But as the critics say, you've taken away the leverage of, or else you're not going to get this permit. You've already said they have the permit. Now we're just working out the details.
Keith Matheny, an environment reporter from the Detroit Free Press. Thanks so much, Keith.
Thank you.